Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been in a series on the gifts of the Spirit, and we're coming to a close on that series. And we've taken a look at the fivefold ministry. We've looked at a lot of the things that are identified in the Scripture as gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to take one more this morning. Now, how many of you know and remember from the ministry of Jesus, He spent a lot of time working on people's seeing. He spent a lot of time opening blind eyes. And remember the story from the Scripture. He prayed for somebody's vision and the man saw people as trees walking. And then he prayed for him again and full sight came. And then he also took mud and he wiped it on somebody's eyes. And then he took spittle and he put it on somebody's eyes. And what you see is crucial to the Lord. He wants us to see. How many want to be able to see? Have you ever had frustration with blurry vision or frustrating, you know, your eyes just don't work quite right? Man, that's frustrating. We spend a lot of time with inventions. We have binoculars and telescopes and electron microscopes. And also we can see better what it is we're looking at. How many have loved from time to time seeing the Hubble pictures? Man, the Hubble telescope or whatever you want to call that out in outer space. It's absolutely incredible, the pictures that have been taken. Well, this next gift that I want to talk about is similar to that in terms of opening our eyes and helping us see. Let's go to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading 7 through 10. My text is primarily from the New King James this morning. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, the gifts of the Spirit are to profit everyone. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another what?
Faith.
To another what?
Faith.
Say it one more time. To another?
Faith.
We ought to write a song like that. Faith, faith, faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to all. The Greek for the word manifestation is phanaseros. Can you say with me? Phanaseros. Phanaseros. And now that you've said it that way, I'd like you to say it another way. It's phanerosis. Phanerosis. Say it that way, would you please? Phanerosis. Now, phanaseros is a Greek word that I have no idea what it means because I mispronounce it. So, phanerosis is another Greek word that's actually a correct one. Okay, phanerosis is the word manifestation, and it means exhibition, expression. Bestowment, the bestowment of a gift, the manifestation, the expression of the gift. And God gives His Spirit in different manifestations, phanerosis, in order for all of us to profit and hear Him and see Him. How many want to see Jesus? I want to see Him. I want to hear Him. I want to be involved in what He's doing. And that's what this morning is about. Another expression, another element of phanerosis, the expression or manifestation. And this morning we're going to talk about the gift of faith. The gift of faith. So often, and you may have said it along with me over the years, I just need more faith. Anybody ever said that? What did you hear prophetically this morning? The very first prophecy. What did the Spirit say to us? I'm sorry, you what?
It's in us.
I remember a message Pastor Tammy preached a long time ago called Prego, right? And what was that all about? It's in there. See, Prego means, it means it's in there. See, it's in there. The Spirit of the Lord says it's in there. The Holy Spirit says to you, He's in there. Look at each other and say, He's in there.
Yeah.
Pastor Carl has long used a phrase, and we're going to repeat it this morning. It's not how big is our faith, it's how big is our God. We all try to pump up something. Oh man, if I could just feel right about it, I know I could get more faith. Well, wait a minute. He's in there. And He's huge. Tell me, How big is God? Yeah, no, I mean, how big? What was that? Unlimited. Omnipresent. What does that mean? Present everywhere at the same time, isn't he? Anybody else have any fancy words? Good for you, man. That's theological. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Omniscient. What's that mean? Means the great uh-oh in the Greek. No. That's right. He's the one who knows. So he's in there. It's not pumping up more faith. It's recognizing how big is God who is already living inside. It's based on him. It's based on what he does and what he's already done. We heard it prophetically this morning. Now, Abraham is the father of our faith, if you will, or a prime example, the example of faith. When my kids were little, maybe you did this when you had children as well. When they were little, I'd take their hands and we'd walk across the parking lot and invariably one of them would trip up. I'd always make a big deal out of that going, aren't you glad daddy's got your hand? I'm into a little daddy worship. Aren't you glad daddy's got your hand? Yeah. They don't say it that same way anymore. Aren't you glad daddy's got your hand? Shut up. But you know, they tripped, or I'd come home from a trip, and I have suitcases out in the car, and they're going to go out and, you know, your kids ever do that? They're going to go out and get the bag and reach in and grab it with them and carry it with them to the house. And I'd look at them and go, aren't you glad daddy's got it with you? Oh, the innocence of youth. But daddy, Father God, has you right in the palm of his hands. Father God is inside of you. Faith isn't something you pump up. Faith is recognizing who it is who's inside of you. So too when he moves with the gifts of the Spirit. It's not striving to pump something up. It's simply recognizing he wants to say something this morning. Let's express him. Let's express him. Good prophetic words this morning. Thanks, Pastor Jay, for stepping right out. Good man. Welcome, Beckers. Good to see you guys, by the way. Nice to have you here. If you thought you were going to sneak in church, the Holy Spirit blew it when he spoke to you prophetically, didn't he? But and the voice of the little one back here, I don't know if you could all hear it, but she was leading us in prayer response to God about how wonderful and how great he is. It's fantastic. So good prophecies this morning. Good expression of the gifts of the Spirit. So it's how big he is. Let's look at what the scripture says. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the New American Standard Bible says, the conviction of things not seen. You can't see it. We just believe it. Why do we just believe it? Because we know him. We believe him. It's his word. We love Jesus. We're friends of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. We just know and are knower. Even if you don't feel like you can theologically announce to everyone all the reasons why Jesus is Lord and loves you, you just know it in your knower, don't you? Like Father Abraham, James 2, verse 23 tells us, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham, say it with me please, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Say it with me and boom it out, please. Last phrase. And he was called the friend. Abraham, he was called the friend of God. Abraham couldn't see his offspring, but God told them, your offspring are going to be more than the stars in the sky. Can you count all those? And he couldn't, but the Bible says he believed God and God's promise. God told Abraham to move to Canaan. And he did. Had he ever been there before? He hadn't seen a DVD on Canaan land. He didn't know where he was going. He just believed his friend who told him to go. God told him he'd have a son, and he believed God though he waited most all of his life. And then he believed God when God said, I want you to sacrifice that son to me. He believed that God had still promised, and God was still able to fulfill his promise because Abraham believed his friend, God. Genesis 22, 5 through 13. And Abraham said to his young men, they're on their way for the sacrifice, stay here with the donkey. Watch this. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come and we will come back. I said, and we will come back to you. Word of faith, folks.
Amen.
We are coming back.
Amen.
That a little later in his life probably gave his son some immeasurable comfort. Dad believed he was bringing me back. So Abraham took the word of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac took a pause. Sorry. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And watch again. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb. Say it with me, please. God will provide for himself. God will, not God might, not we're going up to the mountain because God suggested there might be something there for us. He said, God will provide the lamb because that's what my friend God said. Had he been up to the mountain? Had he already seen a herd of rams? Lambs? No, he said, God will do it. Word of faith for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place in which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And say it with me, please. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. But God had told him it would be there. God had told him they'd come back. He's speaking in agreement with what God said. We're coming back. We're going to go worship. We're coming back. God's going to provide because I know God is my friend. And because my friend told me, I know it, though I may not be able to see it. Gift of faith is built on relationship. A knowing in your knower that God has spoken to your heart. It's one of the reasons why when we teach parents, we tell parents, keep your promises to your kids. Now, if you don't, thank God there's grace and forgiveness to cover. But keep your promises to your kids so you teach them that you can put your trust in the promiser. Now, we're not perfect. God is. And He never lets His promise down. What's the gift of faith? Let's take a look at it. What's the gift of faith? Gift of faith is the supernatural ability to believe God. Say, I believe God. You can visualize what it is He says He wants to accomplish. It's a supernatural manifestation. There's that word again, of the Spirit of God. And He miraculously drops something into your heart, the assurance of an answer to your prayers, before you see it in the natural. Have you ever had that in your heart? You just know God's spoken to your heart and something's going to happen. Believing that which you prayed for is going to happen. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now there are three types of faith. Watch this in Romans 1. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For the righteousness of God, for in it rather, the righteousness of God is revealed, say the phrase with me, from faith to faith. There's a an ascending or a moving, a growing, an enlarging, a changing from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. They just believe God. They're saving faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, if you're taking notes. By faith are you saved through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. They're saving faith. There's the fruit of faith, and you find that in a list of Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, and in that list you find in the New King James, it's called faithfulness. But faith. Then there's the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is the fruit of the two that we just spoke about working together. I know Him whom I have believed. I'm saved by faith. I produce that fruit of the Spirit in my life because I walk with God. I learn to hear His voice. I learn to trust Him. And because those things work within, I'm a candidate for Him to drop something into my spirit. Now, I want you to know that God's going to drop something into your spirit. If not this morning, this week, where you're praying, you know you've got something on your heart, and God wants to move in you, through you, with you. So He's going to drop something into your spirit that you can believe Him for. Is anybody in this room a candidate? Anybody in this room want to grow in God? Lord, drop something into my spirit this morning. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, it says in the New King James. The Message says, your faith, watch this, is growing phenomenally. The New Living Testament, your faith is flourishing. We walk with Him. We hear Him. We're friends with Him. And this thing, he drops things into our spirit. And we grow. Saving faith produces the faith of the fruit of the Spirit, which in turn produces the gift of faith. And when the gift is released, something powerful happens. Now, I can sit here today and tell you that I long to see God move in fresh ways, to express Him in fresh ways, the prophetic word said. I long to see Him move through us and in us. I long to see the river of God flow. Come on, don't you? I want to see the river of God moving. I want to see God moving more today. I don't want to just read about revivals. I want to be in one and birth one and be a part of one, don't you? I want to see God doing what God does best. Moving, healing, delivering, saving. I want to see a room full of people saved, full of the Spirit, and praying for one another, and activated saints who are watching healings take place and miracles take place. I don't want to just read about it in the history books. I want to be part of it. Don't you? Oh God, do it. We release you to move in that way. What is the gift of faith not? Well, it's not just confidence. Courage and confidence, ambition, risk-taking. Natural people not anointed by the Spirit of God can do that, and a lot of people do. The unsaved can do that. This is something different. It's not saving faith. That's the faith that spurs you on as you become a Christian. How many of you understand you can't get saved without God moving somehow by the Spirit of God in your life, so your eyes open up, and all of a sudden you believe what He says is true. He'll forgive me. He's Lord. He is who He says He is. And invite Him into my heart and surrender my life to Him. Saving faith. It takes that. The hovering over by the Spirit of God. What is it not? It's not simply faith theology. How many know there's a lot of presumption in faith theology? God's going to load you full of money. Go out and buy your Cadillac today. Next month, most of us will be having those Cadillacs foreclosed on and taken away. There is a faith theology, but sometimes there's a presumptiveness. This is not that. This is a move of the Spirit of God. It's not simply a hope that something will happen. It's not trying to just pump up something to happen. It's not just a positive confession That's important, but it's a move of the Spirit of God in our human heart where we know in our knower God's going to do something. What is it? What does it do? What does the Spirit do? It opens, He opens our eyes to see what He's doing. So then we can cooperate. Watch this. I want to share a few stories with you from the Scripture. Watch this. It's fantastic. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 20. Everybody alive, alert, and enthusiastic? Watch this Scripture. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. He consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." Man of God sent to the king of Israel, a different king, sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you don't pass by this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." You all seeing what's happening here? The Lord told the prophet where that enemy king was going to go with his army, so he's warning the king of Israel, "Don't go over there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. This was happening over and over again. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? We got a mole in our group. Which one of you is telling the enemy where we're heading?" And watch what it says. One of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." How many think, "I better be careful what I'm saying in my bedroom"? So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." It was told him, saying, "Surely he's in Dothan. Let's continue on." Therefore he sent horses and chariots, a great army there. They came by night, surrounded the city. You've got the picture? The whole city is surrounded, and God better come through, or the prophet's in trouble. The whole army is all around. And when the servant of the man of God, who's the servant for Elisha, arose early and went out, there's this huge army all around. Would, you know, if all of a sudden we got surrounded by a huge army, would you be concerned? You know, sure, the whole National Guard's around the building. They got crazy Christians in there. The National Guard's come. Surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and a servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Can you imagine the servant of the prophet looking around going, "You know, I've been wondering if you weren't a little off the rocker here. And now I know. There ain't nobody here except my staff, your stool, and your big mouth prophet. And we're in trouble." And let's see what he says. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that..." Say it with me, please. "He may see." Now look it up above. The word of faith spoken. "Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Do not fear. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, please say it with me, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Folks, there's a whole other dimension of life, and God says, "I want to open your eyes. I want to put a word of faith in your heart. Open your eyes so that you can see." There's a whole different dimension to this thing. We are not simply bound by the natural as Christians. There is the supernatural, the Holy Spirit of God who is in there, moving in, moving through, moving to us. "Greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world," the Bible says. Turn to each other, say, "Greater is he in you than he who is in the world." Natural things may come. Sicknesses, illnesses, problems. All God's kids got problems. Someone say amen. But we walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. In fact, that's the next verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the gift of faith, it's not just visualizing either. There's a whole kind of a new age thing going on about got to visualize, got to visualize. There is an element of being able to see what God is saying. But this is a God-prompted thing. This is a spiritual thing. Seeing what God's doing. Hearing what God is saying. Come up higher. The gift of faith guides what we do and say then. Watch this. Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed, therefore I said I believed, therefore I spoke. Look at how it gets fulfilled in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, we have the same spirit of what?
Faith.
According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Knowing him. Not how big is my faith, how big is my God. Knowing him. Knowing he who has promised. Knowing my friend, the best friend of my life. The one who saved me, delivered me, miraculously moved on my life. He's the one who made the promise. He put it in my spirit. He said it. So therefore, I believe. And so, therefore, I cooperate with him by what I say. There's a confidence that comes from our mouths. Not a denial of reality, but a belief in Jesus. The gift of faith comes upon us and we speak out of a solid rock of belief. My friend told me this, so I believe him. Amen. I long to see a fresh move. I already said it. I long to see a fresh move of God, but expression of the move of God that's already within. There's already a river flowing. Would you like to let him out more?
Yes.
There's already a river flowing. Psalm 107, 19 through 20. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from all the destructions. Romans 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So, we confess his word. Paul prayed over handkerchiefs and bits of cloth for prayer. They sent him out and they laid these handkerchiefs or cloths on people and people would be healed. Elisha's bones were so saturated by the presence of God and the Spirit of the Lord, God living within this man, they threw a dead man in the cave where the bones are, just touched his bones, and the dead man comes to life. Then he went out of the cave and everybody else died. Not really. But can you imagine that? His bones so full of the life of God, just the bones resident inside this cave. Bring this man back to life. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see what you're doing today. I want to release you in my life. I want to be a part. When you come to church on Sunday morning, are you saying in your heart as you pray, oh God, use me. I want to see you. I want to hear you. But use me. I want to be a part. I want to jump in the river. When the river flows by me this morning, I'm jumping in. When the river flows through me, I'm going to cooperate. Prego. I haven't thought of that in a long time. It's in there. The Holy Spirit's in there. I want you to say it to one another one more time. The Holy Spirit is in there. We believe Him. We believe His Word. Let's share another story. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. I'm going to read this one out of the New American Standard. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. This man so respected and knew Jesus was a man of God and of his word. Just speak the word. I'm also a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. And now that Jesus, when he heard this, he just marveled. And he said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say, many will come from east and west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, come on, Israel, you're my family. Step up in faith. And Jesus said to the centurion, go. It'll be done for you as you have believed. And the result, say it with me, please. The servant was healed at that very moment. Servant was healed. The moment Jesus spoke it. All right. So then this morning, what has Jesus spoken to your heart, to your spirit? Let him speak to you. When you were saved, there came an assurance of salvation. His word is true. He came in. Let him speak and do something fresh. Everyday believers exercise the gift of faith. You don't just have to be an Apostle Paul. You don't have to just be the Son of God reading the red letters. Those are the only people who can speak the word of faith. Watch what happened with Ananias as he prayed for Paul. Acts 9:15-70. The Lord said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Remember what happened? Ananias, a certain disciple named Ananias, the Bible says. And God says, I want you to go pray for Saul. He's over there. He's been blinded. He's waiting for healing. Go pray for him. And Ananias, just full of faith and power, said, are you kidding? This is a guy who's been wreaking havoc in the church, and God says, go. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel, for I show him many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Now, the thing I want you to see, it doesn't say Ananias had been there the day before. He saw Paul blind. He saw Paul being led around by the hand. He saw Paul fasting and praying, and he started praying for Paul. It didn't say that. It says the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias, dropped something into his spirit. I want you to do this. And when Ananias did it, he entered the house, laying hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, this guy didn't see this, so he had an assurance he'd be okay. God's sending him to go in and pray for the guy who's been wrecking havoc, killing and destroying families. And God said, I want you to go pray for this guy that he can receive the Holy Spirit. Just a sweet little prayer, okay? Man, wouldn't you be concerned for your life? But he dropped a spirit of faith, a gift of faith in his heart, and a word, and he obeyed him. Now, we're nearly done with our series on the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm not trying to get us to pump anything up. I'm just trying to encourage us, as the prophet said and the prophetic word said this morning, let it out. He's there. Let him out. I want you to believe with me that we are going to see some miraculous things. I want you to believe with me that God is still alive and God still wants to move. God wants to save, deliver, heal, and bring fresh life. I want you to believe with me that we're going to see God do something fresh and alive. It's not just all natural, go to church on Sunday morning, sing a few songs, sit down, hear a message, and go home. No, God wants to intervene in our lives. Is anybody hungry with me for the fresh move of God? Oh, God, pour out your Spirit. We release you, Lord, through our own lives. We'll obey you. We'll follow the promptings. Drop the word of faith inside, and we'll say amen. At noon, would you do something with me? At noon every day, this week, even for next Sunday, but just at noon, if you think about it, wherever you are, whether it's 1 minute or 10, I want you to pray that God will move in a fresh way by His Holy Spirit, that God will include you. I want you to just stop what you're doing at noon, pray for 1 minute or 10 minutes, I don't care, but just join with me in prayer. Oh, God, move in a fresh way. God, do what you want to do. Let the river of God flow. And Jesus, I'm going to get out of the way and not hinder you, but I'm going to express you. Can anybody say amen and join with me in that? Lord, we'll be your obedient people who will give you room to express you. How we love you, Lord. I'm going to finish with a couple of testimonies. I know that we are very burdened regarding what's going on around the world with that which has come against We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the Muslim religion and the jihadists around the world, a lot of Christians live in terror and hatred. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God died for you and me and for them as well, and we need to pray that God will do something supernatural. I said all of that to tell you, do you realize that there was just a Muslim jihadist leader who just had to admit publicly that 15,000 Muslims are getting saved and giving their life to Jesus Christ every single day. There is a revival that is taking place. Many of them in secrets, many of them in fear of their life. But God so loved the world that he gave. Let's pray, church. The day of prayer may be canceled somewhere on some government calendar, but it's this Thursday. Not canceled on our calendar. We can pray. The word of faith. I'm going to tell you a little story in closing. God dropped a little word of faith into a student and into many students at the University of Maryland. They walked in tandem, each of the 92 students filing into the already crowded auditorium. With their rich maroon gowns flowing and the traditional caps, they almost looked like they were as grown up as they felt. And dads swallowed hard behind their broad smiles and moms brushed away tears. This was graduation day. The class was not allowed to pray during the commencements. And this is a true story. Not by choice, but because of recent court rulings literally prohibiting prayer. The principal and several students were careful, very careful, to stay within the guidelines allowed by the ruling. There were inspirational and challenging speeches, but not a soul, not a person mentioned divine guidance. No one asked for blessing on the graduates or on their families. The speeches were nice and routine till the final speech. When a single student walked proudly to the microphone, looked at everybody sitting there, and was silent for a moment. And then it happened. At the same time, every single one of the 92 students, at the same time, suddenly sneezed. The student on stage just looked at the audience and said, "God bless you." And walked away. And everybody in the room received the blessing of God on them and their family. And everybody in the audience literally cheered, burst into applause and a standing ovation. The graduating class found a unique way to invoke the blessing of God on their future, with or without the court's approval. Let's stand. Word of faith. God will drop something into your spirit this week. A solution to a problem or an answer to a question or a burden for someone. But it's beyond faith or it's beyond our sight, but it's something supernatural. Elaine, would you come, please? Lord, we thank you for what you are doing and what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you that you are God indeed. And Lord, we don't want to just live natural Christian lives. We want to live supernatural Christian lives. That's being a Christian. Led by your Spirit, guided and moved on. Lord, we give you liberty. Do what you want to do. And we thank you that you're inside of us. We'll express you, Lord. Now we thank you and give you praise for how great you are. And we go out of this place this morning with expectancy, with the gift of faith. And all the people said, amen. If you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day. Give your life to the Lord. He loves you so much. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, then allow the Lord to move on you this morning. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you have something in your heart you want to take time to talk about, then we'll take that kind of time.